And so each day I'd come in, and, you know, it was usually kind of the, like, they're all about love and joy. It's kind of the rose petals and lollipop Bible version, and which was fine. It's nice to start your day with rose petals and lollipops, right? And then Monday you'd come, and I'd take off Saturday and Sunday, and then I'd read Monday. It was a, that was a treat. So I did that all year long. And then finally, I got to the end of the year, and December 31st was a weekday, so I had to work that day. And I walked in, and there's two sheets of paper, December 30th, and the last one underneath it is December 31st. And so I'm ready for my last Bible verse of the year. And so I take December 30th, and I peel it off, and there on December 31st, the culmination of a year of lollipop and rose petals Bible verses is Luke chapter 16, verse 9. "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Something says to me that that wasn't random. I imagine someone in a publisher's office who's probably a skeptic and a little bit of a wit, who decided, I'm going to throw him a curveball on the last day of the year. Then they can't get angry and throw the whole calendar away. Sometimes you need a little context, don't you? That passage, it's a bold one, and it's a hard one. Jesus says some tough things that don't seem to make sense, and he's not afraid to say things in a way that twists your brain a little bit. And so it is this story of this unrighteous manager, this man who is dishonest. He's a steward. He manages the entire estate for the rich man. And he finds out that his boss finds out, the owner finds out he's been misusing the funds. And so the guy is now going to be fired. And he's in a panic. He's like, thinks, what am I going to do? I'm not good for anything else. And so he makes up this plan. And you're like, wow, Jesus, where? This is a humdinger. He makes up this plan where he calls in all of the owner's debtors before he gets fired, and he starts writing off their debts for them, which is really, really bold. I mean, you just got caught for stealing and cheating, and now on your way out the door, you're doing a lot of extra stealing and cheating to try to grease the skids for yourself when you get out in the world. And it says that Jesus says that the master of the house, the owner of the house, looked at the servant and he commended him for his shrewdness. Now, I imagine that probably as the owner of the house looking at him and going, wow, I'm not real happy about that, but I got to give it to you. That was a really smart move because I can't go to those people and take the money back, right? Puts me in an awkward place. So I may not like what you did, and you're still on the way out the door, but I gotta hand it to you, pal. That was pretty shrewd. And then he goes on, and that's when Jesus says, he turns around to the audience, and he says, And then he turns to the audience, his audience, and he says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Now, that's context, but it really doesn't enlighten things, does it? It still doesn't. It still makes Jesus sound like he's commending the dishonest manager with the owner. I mean, isn't the owner usually God in the parables? I don't think it is in this case. So I think, well, here, before we go on, I'll just pull this out. I think the next chapter, the next paragraph is the answer to that. Jesus looks and says, "The one who is faithful, who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much." So you have faithfulness on the one hand. "And the one who is dishonest in very little is dishonest with much." So it's not using your wealth righteously or unrighteously. It's, are you faithful or are you dishonest? That's the question. And it's not good to be dishonest. You want to be faithful. If then you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? There's the other thing we're setting apart. These are the contrasts. Unrighteous wealth, which is to say that which I have in my pocket. Not that it's somehow, you know, it's like we use the word filthy lucre. I mean, it's money. It's what I pay my bills with, my mortgage. I buy bread with that. It's the currency of this world. And Jesus says, if you can't be good with the currency of this world, if you can't be wise with it, who will entrust you with eternal riches? It reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount when he says, don't build up your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but rather build your treasures in heaven where moths do not destroy and rust does not destroy. And so it really makes, I think, sense. The master is not commending his dishonesty, or the owner is not commending his dishonesty. He's commending the shrewdness, probably reluctantly. And Jesus is not encouraging you to steal money and make friends with him. He's encouraging you to consider what your values are. What matters in this world? And the heart of it, he comes down to the end of the paragraph, and he says, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So that's what we're dealing with here. We're talking about our values. But if I could, I would like to back it out even a little further into context. Because all of the parables around this parable deal with two things: the value of people and the value of money or wealth. It's the contrast of the value of people and the value of wealth. And it all starts off at the beginning of the last chapter where tax collectors and sinners are coming to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes are not happy about it. This man receives sinners, and they're condemning him for it. And so Jesus tells perhaps the most famous parable of all, the parable of the prodigal son. But the parable is to the Pharisees. And that's what it's not to you and me, it's to the Pharisees of his day. I think it applies to us, it speaks to us. But he's speaking this parable to the Pharisees, and we call it the parable of the prodigal son, but it really ought to be the parable of the older, bitter brother, or the older, bitter son. Because at the end, it ends there. As the younger son has come home, you probably all remember, I'm going to assume you remember the parable of the prodigal son. The wayward son has come home, and he has spent all of his half of the inheritance, and then he comes home and repents, and the father welcomes him, and the older brother is angry. And it's at this point, I have to reference Tim Keller, the late Reverend Tim Keller, who is pastor of Redeemer Church in New York City. And he wrote a book called The Prodigal. I don't know if you've read that. It's just a little book, just small. And you can read it in a short time, and I highly recommend it. He mentions that at the end, when he gets to the brother, that the brother has been obedient on the outside. He's done all the things right. He's been loyal, outwardly there, but he doesn't understand his father's heart. And so the father comes to him. The father comes to him and he says, son, you are always with me. Now here it is, ready? Listen. Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. The younger son took his inheritance and spent it. It's gone. All that is mine is yours. And the father is asking the son to take from his own inheritance and celebrate the wayward son's return. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. How can you not know your father's heart? I know sinners are trying. I know it's uncomfortable to be around them, But they are the people that God wants. They are the people that he calls, and they are the ones that I have come to. Those I have come to receive. Interestingly, Reverend Keller ends by saying, I told you to read the book, but I'm going to tell you how it kind of wraps up. He ends by saying, who is really the oldest brother? Who is the brother who is always with the Father and pleasing to him? Who is the brother who has all the inheritance, knows his father's heart, shares it, and pours upon wayward sinners his own inheritance out of love? And that's Jesus. And so this parable is a call to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the tax collectors, or not the tax collectors, excuse me, and the scribes and the priest and all of the official religious establishment, reminding them that the time is growing near. And you're given all of these blessings and benefits not to scorn sinners, but to bless them by welcoming them back. Years ago, I was talking to a friend, and he was new to our church, and not this church, but to the Anglican tradition, and he was saying he didn't quite get the whole priesthood thing, why we call our presbyters, our pastors, priests. And he said, the way I see it, when the Old Testament ended, that meant that priesthood ended and everybody had equal access to God. And I said, the thing is, God didn't put a priesthood there as a roadblock to grace. He put the priesthood there to be a conduit of grace. And that somewhere along the lines, the Pharisees lost sight of this. Because when you can't see God's people, even the wayward ones who spend their inheritance with, you know, with all kinds of things, when you can't see them and love them and want them back, then how can you possibly be God's servant? And so to the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priest, and the priest with him, Jesus says, you lost the vision of God's heart. Come and be a conduit of his grace and love, not a roadblock, not an obstacle. So that brings us to today's passage then. And in today's passage, clearly the parable says, as I think we saw in the prophet Amos, that the time is nigh. This is a serious moment for the Pharisees and the religious establishment of the New Testament. The time is close. The bell is tolling. And so Jesus compares them to a steward or a manager who's just about to get canned because he's been dishonest all along. It's kind of an in-your-face thing, isn't it? I think, you know, we think of Jesus meek and mild. I think Jesus was a fairly bold man who was not afraid of anyone. That's what I think. And so he goes to these people who have become, or he says to these men, who have become an obstacle to God's grace, and he comes to them and he says, the time is near. We're in the 11th hour and the clock is ticking and it is time for you to start thinking and to be shrewd. That's who he's talking to. The owner of the house commended the dishonest manager, not because he was dishonest, but because he was shrewd. At least he was thinking. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees and the tax collectors, excuse me, I keep saying that, it really messes up the sermon, doesn't it? To the Pharisees and the scribes, he says to them, you have all these blessings and benefits. Now is the time to turn to the people and pour out everything that God has given you to love them. What good is money if you end up in the pit? Doesn't Jesus say that once? I believe he says, what does it profit a person to if they gain the whole world, but they lose their soul? And so you've got all this money, you have all these blessings. What good will it do you on the last day? So use it. Use it for something worthwhile. And that's not bribery in Jesus' mind, I can assure you. It's love. It is love. The time is nigh. Next week, we'll be looking at the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. You remember that one? Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man doesn't even get a name. Lazarus and the rich man. Are you going to preach on that passage next week? We may get a sermon on Lazarus and the rich man. I will be brief on this one because one, time is shy for me too. And two, I don't want to steal Paul's thunder. But I think I can say this. Once again, we're talking about who do we value? What do we value? Money or people? Money or people? What is important to us? Because once again, right after this parable that we're reading about today, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, it's about to say, turned and they got irritable with Jesus. They grumbled, it says. Money and people. And Jesus just talked about money, and it stepped on some toes. Can I tell you, of all the things, when it comes to preaching, the things I get most nervous about is if I have to talk about money. I hate talking about money to you people. Like I said, Jesus was a bold man, and he was not afraid to step on toes. And so, Jesus looks to the Pharisees and the, not tax collectors, but the scribes, and he says to them, stop exploiting the poor and stop ignoring their plight. I know the poor aren't pretty to look at. I know it. Miriam and I lived for 12 years in a very urban setting, and what I found, it was odd because you could drive up the hill and you'd be in the suburbs, but you drive, it's a very wooded hill, big, long, about a mile long. You go down to the bottom of the hill and you're instantly into the city, like the city, crime, you name it. And my experience was that people in the city are authentic. They wear their warts out for everybody to see. They don't care. Where in the suburbs, and forgive me if you're from the suburbs. In the suburbs, we're made up. We keep it together. We look good. We're presentable on the outside. And so the Pharisees, not only apparently are they using the poor and exploiting them, but they're just completely deaf to their plight. And so he tells a story of Lazarus and the rich man. And in this parable, Lazarus is poor and the rich man ignores him. They both die, and Lazarus goes to glory and the rich man goes to flames. That's what it says, torments. And the rich man begs Abraham, where Lazarus is resting. He begs him to send Lazarus, and Abraham says no. And then he begs Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers. And Jesus says, or excuse me, Abraham says to the rich man, if they won't believe the law and the prophets, they're not going to believe someone who comes back from the dead. And once again, Jesus' parable starts talking about the Pharisees, but it ends talking about himself. And it's a warning to them. If you won't listen to me, even when I'm raised from the dead, who will you listen to? The hour is nigh. Repent and turn your hearts to the people. Money and people. Our collect. Our daily collect, it's the prayer that gathers our service, that collects our prayers together. And Father Paul prayed, O Lord, you have taught us that without love, All our deeds are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that most excellent gift of charity, the true bond of peace and of all virtues. People, sinners are not comfortable, and the poor may not be real pleasant for you to look at. These parables weren't spoken to us, but we, Church of the Redeemer, who are a very hospitable congregation. I've heard so many people say, you can't get out of your church without people coming over to shake your hand and say hi. It's like, I just want to go home and eat dinner. Can you guys worship on a Sunday morning, please? These parables, these lessons, these stories, they call us to ask ourselves, not which brother am I in the story of the prodigal son? They don't call us to ask, oh, am I Lazarus or the rich man? These parables call us to look at the Pharisees and say, do I want to be a conduit of God's grace, or do I want to be an obstacle and a roadblock? We have to love in order to be a conduit. You have to love God's people, no matter how they come. Things are changing for our church. Things are changing. And as I do, I hope that we, wherever we go and whatever we do and however we serve and whatever God gives us, that we'll receive it and we'll serve with love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.